Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go.
Today I thought it'd be good to think about Christmas once again, and I'm in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, which says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." What a wonderful verse that tells us that just the right time, God set up the world so that Jesus could come as a babe in a manger, he could live a sinless life, and then die on a cross just for you and for me. And the point is that because he died on the cross and took our place and redeemed us by his own precious blood, that when we receive him by faith, we're adopted into the family of God and we're called sons of God. What a great blessing it is to represent Jesus Christ in this day and age. What a privilege. I trust that the Lord will bless all of us together as we do his work and do his will throughout this new year. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Abba Saad, who has a ministry in the Middle East. He's a global outreach missionary, and the Lord has opened all sorts of opportunities. He's in several countries in the Middle East. He's planted churches in these countries that are in the news, like Syria, like Iraq, like Lebanon, like Jordan, like Libya, like Sudan and others. And today we're talking about the crisis with refugees, particularly in Iraq, as a lot of the Christians are being persecuted by ISIL. And because of that, they're fleeing into Jordan. And so Abu has a ministry there. And so, Abu, why don't you tell us about how the Lord's leading you and how you're ministering to these refugees?
Well, thank you for having me on this broadcast. Today, I would like to share with you what's really going on among those refugees. Today, we're challenging those churches in all the areas to be part of this the Great Commission. What we're doing that helping the churches to reach out those refugees. So we've been raising lots of volunteers from different denominations, evangelicals, that they will go daily to those refugees' homes to share Christ with them, share the love of Christ, share, tell them how God care about them, Jesus care about them, with giving them some bag of food, which is dry food. Usually we use contains rice, lentils, and sugar, oil, things like this. So they can use it for a month almost. And this bag is cost about $65 actually. Plus we're also helping the children, giving them milk, which is very important for them. We're distributing a bag of milk for every child in these homes. Plus winter is coming today, and as cold almost as it is in this country, it comes. We get like minus zero centigrade, and we're providing blankets, we're providing mattresses, we're providing sometimes when we have families living in one home, maybe four, five, six families in one apartment, sometimes we, if we could, provide for them a washing machine or fridge. Because they have a lots of kids. When you're saying four families minimum in each apartment, count four times four minimum, that's the minimum number, you get almost 16, how many? More than 16 children. Mm-hmm. So imagine 16 child in one apartment, small apartment. And that's beside the other folks too. So that's a kind of treat for the women there. And by doing this, we're having chances to meet and share the gospel. Not just share the gospel, but I'm talking today also to have discipleship, to have Bible studies. Beside all this, people are so happy, the refugees, to see really Christ in us, and we praise God that at least we can show this for those Muslims, Syrian refugees, and some Iraqi refugees too. So we, today we're showing this love of Christ for those refugees. Today from those refugees we're getting a good response. Beside just presenting Christ for them, and they're seeing this as apply. We're applying that, what we are teaching for them as Jesus care, but also they want us almost every day in their homes, because they call us and say, we want you to visit us. Just come without anything. We don't want anything. Just come and visit us. Why? Because when they go to other organizations or even Muslim organizations to give them food or whatever other things, they just throw the things for them, or they don't deal with them as human, let me say it this way, as they're explained for us. So they said, instead, you come to us, you bring this stuff for us, you sit down, you chat with us, you hear our sorrows, you hear our problems, and yes, you cannot do very much, but at least you are communicating with us, and we're seeing your love and care, and we're learning from that. So
and you're praying with them.
Oh yes, definitely. In every time we visit, if that's only visit without, because now we have weekly Bible study or weekly discipleship program. It depends in each family. But every, and many times we visit them during those weeks. So every time we come, we pray with them. Beside, in all the churches we're working through, we're having programs for them once a week. We're having a kids club for the children. Or the second week we will have 1 week a children program. The other week we have something for the women to do handcraft and also do some counseling sessions for them.
It sounds like you're doing a really good job there, and I know the Lord's blessing you, and we'll pray that God will continue to give us the resources so that we continue to provide these physical things that they need. But we're so thankful for the spiritual things that you're sharing, and we know that you're going to see a great harvest of souls there. The Lord bless you, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we have a wonderful pamphlet that will help all of us to understand those who have dementia, Alzheimer's, or other mental illnesses. It's a pamphlet that's put out by Help a Friend Ministry, which is put out by Joni Erickson. I found it to be very helpful. Many of you probably don't know that my mom had passed away with Alzheimer's. It was a or 8 year long trek down. And I found that this pamphlet was a very great help even to me after she had passed. And I wish I would have had it when she was still alive. It has so many wonderful things and it's almost indescribable. You just have to write in and get it. It talks about encouragement from God's word. It tells about what you should say and not say to people that have dementia. It's how to help. It has so many pieces of advice are so encouraging to people that are going through this trauma, trying to meet needs in a loved one's life. So I highly recommend it, and I think it'd be a great blessing to everyone who knows someone who has memory loss. You can write to Candace National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Of course, this pamphlet is free, but we ask that you pray for us, and if you can send us a gift, it'll be a great help in January when we have donations are way down. Please remember us in prayer, and the Lord bless you, and thank you for everything that you do for us. Please write and get this wonderful booklet entitled Memory Loss.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is found in Revelation chapter 6 about the sealed judgments and the tribulation. Printed copies are available upon request.
The last time we were together, we examined the first half of the sixth chapter of Revelation. In that study, we looked at the first four sealed judgments that will come upon the earth during the tribulation period. To remind you of what they were, we'll give you a very brief description of them. When the first seal was opened, we saw the Antichrist coming to try to conquer the world. The second seal brought war to the earth. The third one brought famine, and the fourth brought death to one-fourth of the population of the earth. Those events seem to be most severe. They will seem very small as we look at the rest of the seals, trumpets, and vile judgments yet to come. All of this is to prepare the earth for God's King, Jesus Christ, to return to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. Today we begin our study with the breaking of the fifth seal, found in Revelation 6, verse 5. When the Lamb opens the seal, we are taken from the earth to a scene in heaven. Under the altar there, he sees the souls of those who were martyred for their faith in Christ and their testimony for him during the tribulation. I get the sensitivity that this was a huge number. Immediately, we ask ourselves the question, where did they come from? If the church was taken up at the rapture, there would have been no believers here. How did they come to the Lord and get killed for their faith? If believers were gone, how did they get saved during the tribulation? After all, they had to become believers somehow, or they would not be in heaven. How could this be? I believe the Bible is very clear on this, but we have to search a little bit to find it. I also believe that this will be a great number of people. Let me try to explain why. In the first place, there's no reason to believe the Bible will not be available to read. Many people have been and will be saved by reading the Bible. My own pastor was saved by reading a Gideon Bible in a hotel in Washington, D.C. In the second place, though the Holy Spirit will not be here as he is during the church age, he will serve as he did under the Old Testament economy. He came and went, rather than indwelling believers. But he did draw people to God like Abraham, Moses, and David, as well as many others. We will also see in chapter 7 that there will be 144,000 Jews who will be saved and sealed, 12,000 out of each tribe. This fact alone eliminates the possibility of them being Gentiles. It is pretty obvious they will take the message of Christ to the world. In chapter 7, verse 9, we find a great multitude no one could number, coming out of nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, who were before the throne of God. Furthermore, in chapter 11, we find the two witnesses, who will perform all kinds of miracles and serve the Lord for 3.5 years before they will be slain. Then they will be resurrected. We have to believe these will certainly be a great testimony to the world. Finally, in Revelation 14, we learn of another angel who will fly into the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to the people who live upon the earth. So then we must conclude that many will be saved during the tribulation. There's also another principle that God has always followed. He always administers grace before he brings judgment. May I just remind you of grace that came for 120 years before the flood. Also, there was a chance to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. God is always consistent with himself and is desirous that all might be saved. As we go back to some of the details that will happen when the fifth seal is opened, we immediately see in verse 10 that they were praying a specific prayer. They were crying out very loudly, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" The response was a simple one. They would have to wait a while longer because more believers had to die and join them. God was in the process of dealing with this earth in preparation for his Son to return. Those in the world who do not know the Lord will not even begin to comprehend that the Lord is preparing the earth for his takeover. Both today and in this period to come, those of the world think they can get away with their sinning and mocking of God. As we look at the world situation today, the earth is full of sin, confusion, and chaotic situations, with world leaders having no answers. Many Christians are asking why God doesn't intervene, or at least do something. There's a very simple reason. We still have a job to do, to reach those last souls for Christ. Meanwhile, his plans are in place and will be fulfilled in his perfect timing. As we look at the awful price many believers will have to pay during the tribulation, we should join with them in praying that the Lord will come soon. It does not appear that the world situation is improving. Many of God's people are already being persecuted, and in some countries they are paying a terrible, terrible price. We can cry out with the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." What we have just said leads us into the sixth seal that follows right after this one. It leads right into an anarchy upon the earth. We find this seal given in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. If you think the previous seals brought a lot of judgment and destruction upon the earth, things get much worse here, and will continue to do so as we see the trumpets and vials which follow. First of all, there will be a great earthquake. The Greek word used here has the idea of a seismic shaking. It is like a great wind would shake a tree, but this will shake the whole earth. Earthquakes are recorded several times in the Bible, but none like this one. Paul and Silas were released from prison by an earthquake. There was also one when Jesus was crucified. Furthermore, when this earthquake hits, the sun will be blackened as sackcloth of hair. When this earthquake takes place, the earth will be enshrouded in thick darkness. This alone is enough to be scary. But this is not all that will happen. The heavens will roll up like a scroll. To be honest, I do not know exactly what this means, but God is going to do something very spectacular in the heavens. Along with this, the mountains will fall and the islands of the sea will be moved out of their place. There will be tremendous geographic changes upon the earth. Fear will grip the people on the planet. This will bring about the anarchy of which we spoke previously. All the people of the earth, from kings and mighty men, all the way down to the average working person, and even those who are slaves, will try to flee. They will hide in the rocks and caves, hoping to escape God's wrath. Terrified isn't even the word for it. When have we ever seen people on the earth have this kind of fear? The answer is never. I can't imagine how terrified these people will be. Now we come to the most interesting part of this sixth seal judgment. The inhabitants will know from whom the judgment has come upon them. They realize it is from the hand of God himself. Because of this, they will plead for the mountains and for the rocks to fall upon them so that they might be hidden from the face of God that sits upon his throne, as well as the wrath of the Lamb. They feel that death will end it all and will beg for it. They know that should they live, things will only get worse and it will be too much for them. Sadly, they miss the whole point of what God is doing. He is shaking the very foundations of the earth that unsaved people might still turn to him. Instead, they will only blaspheme God all the more and reject his great salvation offer through faith in Christ. There are some verses in Hebrews 10 that stand out in relation to this event which we're considering. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." And again, "The Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 31. The people who will go through this sixth seal will have had every opportunity to turn to Christ. As earlier mentioned, there will be the 144,000, the two witnesses, and the flaming angel that takes the gospel to the ends of the earth, but they will not listen. They will cry out for the rocks and for the mountains to fall on them, thinking that death will spare them from facing God. Revelation 9:21 and 16:11 describes their condition so well. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The last verse of chapter 6 sums up the events that will take place when the sixth seal is opened. For the great day of wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I do not believe anyone, believer or unbeliever, can even get close to having an understanding of God's wrath. It will be poured out in a very harsh manner during the tribulation period. But why does God do it? As we've already pointed out, he's preparing the earth for his son Jesus to come back and take over this planet. However, there's also another reason, and that possibly involves you. As God pours out his wrath, his desire is that those who have not come to him by faith in his son Jesus Christ might come to him. The wrath of God during the tribulation, however, will seem very insignificant to that which will come upon anyone who rejects his grace. For all the unsaved who have ever lived will one day face the great white throne judgment. It is at that time they will be judged and cast into the lake of fire and suffer eternal separation from God. My friends, we've studied these things which will take place in the tribulation. May I remind you that God cannot stand sin, yours and mine. He sent his son, Jesus, to bear our sins in his body, and he paid the price of death for them at Calvary. You have a choice. You can either put your faith in Christ and receive the forgiveness of your sins because he paid the price for them, or face the awful judgment of God for all of eternity. The choice is yours. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would plead with you to do it right now, there by your radio.
I trust the message that you just heard will be a real blessing to you, and you can apply it to your life throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned about those who listen, and we're thankful for believers who tune in each week, but also there are others who don't know Jesus personally. And of course, without a personal relationship with Christ, eternity is a great difficulty. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that they're not going to go to heaven. They're going to go to the other place. It also tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God did all the work for salvation. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh and lived among us, performed miracles, authenticated who he was, went to the cross, died for our sins, paid for our sins as he hung on the cross. He was buried and rose on the third day. He's alive, and he wants you to become a member of his family. You can do that by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's what the scripture says. Please don't forget to write in to get your booklet on memory loss. It's a great blessing, and I know it'll be a great help to you and to your family, and to those who do have memory loss. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And of course, you can listen to all these broadcasts on our website, www.missiongo.org, missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers, and don't forget to send in a gift. This is a very difficult time of the year to raise funds for radio ministries, and we trust that God will continue to bless us and use us in the future, but we need your help. Please pray. May the Lord bless you throughout this week.